Model Test 5 Part 1 Dictation Listen to the following passage. Altogether, the passage will be read to you 4 times. During the first reading, which will be done at normal speed, listen and try to understand the meaning. For the second and third readings, the passage will be read sentence by sentence, or phrase by phrase, with intervals of 15 seconds. The last reading will be done at normal speed again, and during this time you should check your work. You will then be given 1 minute to check through your work once more. Please write the whole passage on answer sheet 1. Now, listen to the passage. The food we eat seems to have profound effects on our health. Although science has made enormous steps in making food more fit to eat, it has, at the same time, made many foods unfit to eat. A research in 2010 has shown that perhaps 80% of all human illnesses are related to diet, and 40% of cancer is related to diet as well, especially cancer of the stomach and bowel. Different cultures are more likely to develop certain illnesses because of the food that is characteristic in these cultures. That food is related to illness is not a new discovery. The second and third readings. You should begin writing now. The food we eat seems to have profound effects on our health. The food we eat seems to have profound effects on our health. Although science has made enormous steps in making food more fit to eat, although science has made enormous steps in making food more fit to eat, it has, at the same time, made many foods unfit to eat. It has, at the same time, made many foods unfit to eat. A research in 2010 has shown that A research in 2010 has shown that perhaps 80% of all human illnesses are related to diet. Perhaps 80% of all human illnesses are related to diet. And 40% of cancer is related to diet as well. And 40% of cancer is related to diet as well. Especially cancer of the stomach and bowel. Especially cancer of the stomach and bowel. Different cultures are more likely to develop certain illnesses. Different cultures are more likely to develop certain illnesses. Because of the food that is characteristic in these cultures. Because of the food that is characteristic in these cultures. That food is related to illness is not a new discovery. That food is related to illness is not a new discovery. The last reading. The food we eat seems to have profound effects on our health. Although science has made enormous steps in making food more fit to eat, it has, at the same time, made many foods unfit to eat. A research in 2010 has shown that perhaps 80% of all human illnesses are related to diet, and 40% of cancer is related to diet as well. Especially cancer of the stomach and bowel. Different cultures are more likely to develop certain illnesses because of the food that is characteristic in these cultures. That food is related to illness is not a new discovery. Now you have 1 minute to check through your work. This is the end of part 2, listening comprehension. Part 2, listening comprehension. Section A, talk. In this section, you will hear a talk. You will hear the talk once only. While listening, you may look at the task on answer sheet 1 and write no more than 3 words for each gap. Make sure the words you fill in is or are both grammatically and semantically acceptable. You may use the blank sheet for note-taking. You have 30 seconds to preview the gap-filling task. Now listen to the talk. When it is over, you will be given 2 minutes to check your work.
Migration and business. Today, we'll talk about migration and business. In the flat world of maps, sharp lines show where one country ends and another begins. But the real world is more fluid. First, peoples do not have borders the way that parcels of land do. They migrate. Consider the difference between China and the Chinese people. One is an enormous country in Asia. The other is a nation that spans the planet. Second, thanks to cheap flights and communications, people can now stay in touch with the places they come from. A century ago, a migrant might board a ship, sail to America, and never see his friends or family again. Today, he texts his mother while still waiting to clear customs. He can wire her money in minutes. He can follow news from his hometown on his laptop. He can fly home regularly to visit relatives or invest his earnings in a new business. This is because the diaspora networks have 3 lucrative virtues. First, they speed the flow of information across borders. Second, they foster trust. Third, and most important, diasporas create connections that help people with good ideas collaborate with each other, both within and across ethnicities. Then there's the relationship between migration and creativity. Immigrants are only an eighth of America's population, but a quarter of the engineering and technology firms started there between 1995 and 2005, had an immigrant founder, according to Duke University. The work by Northwestern University suggests that exile itself makes people creative. They compared MBA students who had lived abroad with otherwise similar students who had not, using an experiment in which each was given a candle, a box of matches, and a box of drawing pins. This candle problem requires people to imagine something being used for a purpose quite different from its usual one. Some 60% of the migrants saw the solution against 42% of non-migrants. Diaspora ties also help businesses to collaborate. What may be the world's cheapest fridge was conceived from a marriage of ideas generated by Indians in India and Indians overseas. 3 Indian American engineers had an idea for a cooling engine, and then worked on a cheap fridge for rural Indians to pour to fork out the 200 normally required, let alone the subsequent electric bills. Finally, the new type of hyperconnectivity that enables such projects is fundamental to today's networked diasporas. Migrants are now connected instantaneously, continuously, dynamically, and intimately to their communities of origin. This is a fundamental and profound break from the past eras of migration. The break explains why diasporas, always marginalized in the flat map world of national territories, find themselves in the thick of things as the world becomes networked. We've talked about the changes of diasporas, why diaspora networks are effective, and how migrations can help business. Any questions?
Now you have 2 minutes to check your work. This is the end of Section A, Talk. Section B, Conversations. In this section, you will hear two conversations. At the end of each conversation, 5 questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken once only. After each question, there will be a 10-second pause. During the pause, you should read the 4 choices of A, B, C, and D, and mark the best answer to each question on answer sheet 2. You have 30 seconds to preview the questions. Now listen to the conversations. Conversation 1. Hello, I'm Linda. Welcome to today's program. I'm joined today by Finn. Hello, Finn.
Hi, Linda. You know, I'm happy you called me to present this program with you because I was there by my desk feeling a bit bored.
Okay. Then let's make this a program all about boredom, shall we? and I'll start by stimulating your imagination. How about I challenge you to a question you might not know the answer to?
Okay, well, you can try. Go on, then.
Well, I know you like the theater.
I do, but it has to be an exciting play, or I get bored.
Okay. I wonder how you'd feel watching the longest continuous play recorded.
That's quite an offer. What do you mean?
According to the Guinness Book of Records, the longest continuous dramatic performance was held in New Jersey, in the U.S., in 2010. But do you know how long the cast was on stage for? Was it for about A, 8 hours? B, 17 hours. C, 23 hours.
Wow, they're all pretty long. I'll say B, 17 hours, Linda.
It was even longer. The play lasted 23 hours, 33 minutes, and 54 seconds.
Goodness.
Now, let's talk more about boredom. I think this is a feeling we have to learn how to cope with.
Yes. We have to learn to deal with this situation successfully. People often feel they want to change their life, to change their job.
So you mean you're bored with your job?
Yes. You know, even I sometimes dream of something a bit more exciting, like being a professional diver or maybe even a pilot of a really fast plane.
Well, guess what? Even pilots get bored, you know?
Not when they are flying anyway.
Wrong. When they're up in the air.
No way. Really? I don't believe you.
Well, Missy Cummings, an American fighter pilot, complains that pilots get bored because these fighter jets are very automated when it comes to just holding altitude and heading. So she turns everything in autopilot and starts listening to Oprah Winfrey TV shows.
Ah. So she listened to a show when flying?
Yes, indeed. But some experts think there's something good about feeling bored.
Really?
Tiffany Watt Smith from Center for the History of Emotions at the Queen Mary University of London says that boredom is a very useful emotion. It's an emotion which spurs people on to change something about their environment. If you're bored, that gives rise to creativity.
So, boredom spurs people on to change something.
So, what are you going to do, Finn? How will you change your life?
Change my life? Okay, I'm going to book myself a fantastic holiday.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. Thanks, Finn. That's it for this program. I hope you didn't find it boring.
Not at all. I loved it.
This is the end of Conversation 1. Questions 1 to 5 are based on Conversation 1.
Question 1. Why is the man happy to join the program?
Question 2. How long is the longest play on stage?
Question 3. Why would pilots feel bored when flying?
Question 4. Why is boredom good?
Question 5. What is Finn going to do to combat boredom?
Conversation 2. For decades, white, Hispanic, and Black Americans have felt similarly optimistic about their chances of improving their lives and economic prospects. But a study out this week shows that, since 2006, whites have become more pessimistic. At the same time, blacks and Hispanics have grown more optimistic. Joining me is Matt Barreto, a political science professor at the University of Washington and co-founder of the opinion research group, Latino Decisions. Professor Barreto, by so many measures, white families are doing better. You know, simply taken in the aggregate, the socioeconomic measurements are just better. Why so much pessimism?
Well, I think it reflects what we call a ceiling effect, and that is the whites have been doing better for a very long time. You can go back to the post-World War II era when whites really started moving into the suburbs and the upper middle class. And so they have occupied that top rung of doing better for a very long time. And now, as they start to evaluate their position, I think a lot of white Americans are saying, we don't see ourselves growing anymore. We have been at this top rung and we're not growing. And instead, we see other groups are also growing. And that leads to a little bit more pessimism in their own reflection of their group. That perhaps they have already achieved the highest rung that they're going to achieve.
Conversely, black and brown Americans are more likely to be unemployed, less likely to have a college credential, by a lot of socioeconomic metrics, just doing worse. How do you explain the optimism?
Easy. I was speaking when I was doing research to a guy named Dave Thomas, who is a business school professor at Harvard. And he used the phrase irrational exuberance to explain what we were then picking up in the polls, because this poll finding is not new. It goes back several years. And in essence, part of it that what African Americans are looking at and Latinos as well is aspirational. They're looking at the future. We have gone, as Matt basically said, from being a country that was basically and totally dominated by whites to something very different now. And so for the first time, you have African Americans who are saying it's possible to break through some of these ceilings that it was impossible to break through a generation ago. And when you're talking about the future, the fact that unemployment for African Americans has been roughly twice what it is for white Americans, pretty much forever, that doesn't affect how you see the prospects for your child. Because you say, my child might be able to become a CEO of a corporation. My child may be able to become a big talk show host. My child may be able to become president of the United States. That's something you couldn't say a generation ago, and that's revolutionary.
This is the end of Conversation 2. Questions 6 to 10 are based on Conversation 2.
Question 6. How optimistic are Americans now?
Question 7. How are white families doing now?
Question 8. What is ceiling effect?
Question 9. Why are Latinos more optimistic?
Question 10. According to the man, what may happen to the black in the future?
This is the end of part 2, listening comprehension.